just found joy. I'm as happy as a baby boy, baby boy, with another brand new choo-choo toy. When I met my sweet Lorraine, 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 she's got a pair of eyes that are brighter than the summer skies. When you see them, you'll realize why I love my sweet Lorraine. I can't wait until that lucky day when I marry sweet Lorraine. When it's raining, I don't miss the sun, because it's in my baby's smile. Oh, and to think that I'm the lucky one that will lead her down the aisle. Oh, each night I pray that no one will steal her heart away. I can't wait until that lucky day when I marry sweet Lorraine. That'll be the day when I marry sweet Lorraine.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Lovely day out there. That was Bill Henderson with Oscar Peterson on Sweet Lorraine. Anyway, thank you for joining, and got a couple of things to on Monday. John Nolan will be off as an annual celebration, as he say, going to listen and watch the national championship football game. So he'll catch you on the rebound, and so will I. I appear on his show on. Appear on his show on many of these on John Nolan's. He won't be on air for a couple hours on Monday. He'll be back on Tuesday. You know, John's show is from 5 to 7 right here on KWAI. And if you want to keep up with what I'm doing, on Thursday, the first Thursday of each month on Olelo at 7 o'clock at Channel 54, you can catch some of my shows there, a different format. And today, on Sundays at 1 o'clock, same channel, and today's subject is, what color is H-power? Now, we got a number of things we're going to be talking about, and especially the, I don't know if any of you were unfortunate enough to be caught in the traffic there at Pearl City IA and in that area due to that gas leak. But I was caught in it in impacted by it, and I have a few share of thoughts I wanted to share and some insight and just how the cost that, you know, we say billions of dollars and now and it's increased. But again, we've spoken about this before. The hidden costs, the ignored costs, or just the costs that present themselves, and you and I on the lower end of the totem pole here, do we have any recourse? And we're going to talk about that. And is it arrogance? Is it ineptness? Is it just unfair and full speed ahead with the train? Because there's some socioeconomic impacts that have not been addressed, and we'll talk about those. And feel free to call in. 524-1080 is the number if you want to chime in on that subject. We're not going to go abroad and chase issues of sorts today. I want to stay right here at home because I can, at the current pace we're going, that we're, and at the rate we're going, and the repeated number of offenses or behavior, I think we'll see a mass exodus, or there's one already taking place that we just don't get the means of quantifying it. People leaving due to the cost of living. It's not warfare. It's not terrorism, but financial hardship is settling on many families, and so we'll talk about all of that. And feel free to call in, and you can catch us at carolcox.com live stream, and that goes for any show here that you'd like to hear. The morning show, Mr. Tucker, James Tucker, and or the Wave, you can get him, and Jeff Davies on Fridays at 4 o'clock. So feel free to go to KWAI1080AM.com, and you can pull up the shows and you can listen live stream. No matter where you are on this planet, you can listen to KWAI. So just a couple things. You know, we way back we talked about on several occasions, but one specific show was about the environmental concerns that have not been addressed there, and these plumes of oil and pipelines that may present themselves. And we said this a long time ago, and we know that the State Health Department, as it relates to the rail, is basically, and it's a logical approach, but is it too much of hands-off and letting the city and the county of Honolulu and its contractors or subcontractors police themselves, or just move blindly and poking and probing and with the potential of discovering pipelines that exist but do not show up on the plans, as we found, as we were informed now. This is workers there state at Pearl City on this gas leak that about 9:30, there was an effort to an excavator to prep a hole where scoop the dirt off and remove any boulders or anything that may impede the auger so that they could sink, we'll call them spirals, or that would support the rail, you know, those large gray cement posts. And what I was told is that they didn't have any indication on their plans that there was a pipeline there. Now, what does it say? If no plan showing this and you're out just willy-nilly digging, what does that say about the professionalism, or what's to be expected? Or can we trust the quality of work? Just asking that. And so it brings home a lot of concern. And some people I spoke to were actually on the bus and were actually caught on the bus and in traffic. and couldn't go anywhere. So for myself, I come around the corner off of H1 and to make that I-Air loop to come back to Pearl City, going to a doctor's appointment. Well, I'm stuck in traffic from that point on for about 45 minutes to get to from the exit off the H1 at the IL by the stadium to get back to my doctor's appointment. Sitting in traffic, the bus system was of sort that they couldn't go anywhere. And they couldn't go anywhere. There was no organized effort. Traffic was left to its own for a while. And imagine the people that were on the bus. Some were going to their jobs, you know, and one person said, well, you know, they won't give us a raise. They fight us on the hourly rate for wages. And yet, we're struggling, and here I am now standing here at a bus stop that's going nowhere, and I don't have an idea of where it's going or what's going to happen or anything. So I'm stuck, and I'm going to lose that I think she said $7.95 she was making now. Something. It was ridiculous that she was whatever she was making. And she said, so she's been on the bus coming to work for about 45 minutes to an hour. And then she get there and no way to connect, no way, can't even walk through. The sidewalks were closed from there at Lepo Street to Annie Miller's. So one gentleman who worked for Google he worked for Best Buy, and he was coming from town side, Honolulu side, walking, and the bus dropped him off, but he was needing to get to work. But how did he get to work? Because the sidewalks were closed. So it was just a chaos. You don't get to see that. You just get to see, well, it stopped the traffic. You see the uniform officers, the firemen. But what about that, the undercurrent? What about the real impacts? We don't see those. And what about the arrogance? Or is it arrogance, or is it just we don't have to care, we don't care? And what about the mayor? You would think in a situation like this, he would have, or his fumbry, or someone would have been immediately on that, trying to assure people that their day won't be spoiled, or their losses will be cut or minimized. Or let me ask you this. Should we have, because this has presented itself before, a water main break right there last month, I think, a month ago or so, at Kaanohe and Cam Highway. And again, that just shut down business. You have a real serious impact on businesses, all because of the rail. Now, this is not in the GTE that they're asking the city council to award them and the governor to get more money. And this has nothing to do with it. This is you and I are haphazardly waiting just for any given day now. Something else may happen. They may hit one of the utility lines and cause it to collapse. Or anything could happen. They could strike the column or the bridge and cause it to collapse or disrupt the traffic or something. Should you and I not be, we can't predict these things. We can avoid them or prevent them to some degree. But should you and I, the general public, be left to our own accords to deal and navigate with these so-called mistakes? Now, this is, Kiewit is involved in this one, and Kiewit is required, you know. I mean, you just can't go digging because of just basic safety of the workers themselves. So who then should pay for the buses? Take, for example, there's one couple there, two sisters actually, senior citizens. There were many people impacted. But I struck up a conversation with them at Annie Miller's. And what I found was that they stated that they had arrived at approximately 9:30, 10 o'clock at Annie Miller's for breakfast. They parked in the parking lot around the building. But when they went to leave, they couldn't leave because the firemen, out of precaution, because of concerns for explosions, and by the way, that gas leaked throughout the better part of the day. It wasn't gushing, but there was still an actual leak. So this couple tells me, and one of many now, tells me that they got there about 9:30, 10 o'clock and had breakfast. But when they decided it was time to leave, they couldn't because the firemen had concerns that starting up a vehicle would cause an explosion or could possibly cause an explosion, and they were constantly monitoring. And there were other stores, and we'll talk about those. Let's call a good morning. Thank you for calling. You have a comment or question?
Yes, good morning. I'm wondering if you could check with the gas company. The gas company always sends out information to, you know, contractors and things. Check with us before you dig. And, you know, they have a lot of information about gas pipelines and stuff. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you can check with them and see if they had the gas line, some information on that, a map or information, and see if the rail guys didn't bother to check that or not.
It seems like, we actually, trying to think exactly when it was. Actually witnessed a guy, a young man named Kyle Britton. He was Tech Hawaii Geo Services. He was there some months ago marking various pipes and utilities. And so we're puzzled as to know why they did not notice that.
Do you think he might have marked it? Are you still able to get in contact with him and see if that was something that he was able to find or knew about?
Well, we're going to ask this because it was, you got a good point there. We wanted to know ourselves. How is it that you could miss a gas line? I mean, it runs down the bike path, for example.
Well, they didn't miss it, did they? They hit. They were right on target.
I stand to be correct. But imagine being, it could have been a very serious disaster. And, you know, I don't know how we escaped that one because, you know, there were guys standing around smoking cigarettes, you know, on the sidewalk. One lady said, well, I was walking with this guy and I got really frightened because the guy was smoking and, you know, they're across from Homeworld.
Yeah, they have a lot of explosions and things happen in the mainland. The whole houses get
mm-hmm.
blown up and big fires and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, it would be very interesting to check to see if you could have found that or somebody else or this guy that you're talking about that marks that kind of thing would have found it if he had checked on that.
Mm-hmm.
If so, that would mean the rail people are negligent and might be liable for being sued or something if they didn't do their proper checking on that kind of thing.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it irrational thought to think that when we have situations like this that could have prevented that Kiewit or the city and county of Honolulu or Hart should have a fund so people could file a tort for the loss in salary, loss in pay, loss in revenue in the restaurants? For example, Bravo, Annie Miller's, and a couple other stores, their customers were impacted because they couldn't leave.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's hard. If they didn't do the proper checking,
mm-hmm.
then I would think it's not the city, not the taxpayer. It's the company that didn't do the proper checking
mm-hmm.
who should be liable for that type of thing.
Yeah, they should have found that. They should have known that pipe was there.
Right. Well, that's the key thing. Was it findable, or was it could have been found if there was proper somebody properly looking for that type of thing, or did they just dig and just you could say the hell with it. You know?
Well, you know, one thing I do know that is available to them is ground radar.
Right.
And all they had to do, this is in the media now. This is, so you would think that they would have taken time to meticulously map out that where you were digging. They know the columns are going to be placed there, right?
Right. So, well, I guess you have to, you know, try to get information from somebody who's involved in that process and stuff and see if that was something they should have done or not. But, you know, finding out if somebody else could have marked that off or not would be certainly very, very interesting.
Yeah, we'll ask. That company, HGS, was one of the people that were... their logo even says clearing a path for your success. You understand? Hawaii Geophysical Services.
Yeah, it'd be good to follow up on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing I was wondering about, you mentioned something about, I don't know if you use the term, but it almost seems like financial terrorism that's, you know, driving people out of here and just, you know, making stuff so expensive for everybody. You know, it'd be interesting to find out how many people or small businesses have closed down, shut down because of the taxes and the rail and
mm-hmm.
and that type of thing. See if there's a comparison over, I don't know, the last 5 years or something, or you know, to see what the hell is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you notice a lot of businesses on the news and stuff. Closing down, and nobody seems to care.
Yeah,
you
know? And it's all the scenario is similar to big fish eat little fish. You know, the big businesses that are promised to come in, the condos and the TODs and all of that, are eating the little guys, pushing them out of the way up front, right? Just ridding,
right.
And so we're going to have a clear path. So fascism, or what is it? Fascists?
Well, yeah, exactly. But, you know, we got to do more than just complain about it.
Exactly.
You know, kind of thing. There needs to be some kind of a process where people can join into something to sign petitions or go after the politicians that are allowing all this stuff and get them unelected, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. There needs to be more of a plan than just complain about it.
Right. And, you know? And again, one observation, the phone line's lighting up, but hold on. But in addition to that, of all of these things that happen, I've yet to see the illustrious Mayor Caldwell have one comment. And I'm sorry, you know, it may be pulling his feathers, tail feathers, but again, he needs to be plucked. Something.
Oh, exactly, you know. But, you know, the thing is, I wish people would sit down and think, you know, what are we going to be in 10 years when we spent $8-10 billion on this idiot rail and we got the thing running and the traffic is just overwhelming. And
mm-hmm.
we think, why the hell did we spend all this money on rail when we got a traffic problem? We don't have a railroad problem.
Right. I see us importing labor and having dormitories to house them, and the poor people or the lower class or the middle class are gone by.
Yeah.
And,
but
okay.
Anyway, it's the traffic problem we need to address, and rail does not do that. You know, I called up and talked to Panos, or had the question put to Panos to use the rail stuff for traffic. You know, don't use it for rail. Put, you know, manage lanes in so that traffic can use it. That's where we have the real problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that the columns are too small for that. Well, add a second column or add some more supportive columns
right.
to the thing. Make it a little wider and make it heavier. Add another column to these things so you can still use them. Traffic is the problem.
Right.
And they're not addressing it. They're just making it worse with their idiot construction things that they're doing.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll let you go.
Hey, thank you.
See if you can check on that.
All right.
Who could find that online. Okay, thank
hey,
you.
Hey, thank you for calling.
All
thank
right.
you for listening. Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling. You have a comment, a question?
Hi, Carol. This kind of gets to the what I have to do every day. Is I'm a big consumer of buses, and you know, it just outrages me that this especially this e-bus. These are people, you know, they start in Evan Beach and then goes through Apollo and then goes on a freeway. But This bus is never on time. It's usually about 20-30 minutes late. And a lot of times, and I've called them over and over again to complain about it, and nothing seems to happen. I mean, that's the way it works. But a lot of times, they know this, that they have to have the longer buses for this, because, you know, you're talking about over 100 people on that bus, and they're squashed in so tight. And, you know, and these are poor working people. That most of them are going on to Waikiki. And, if you remember a couple of years ago, that's when...
Now, is this along Cam Highway or Pearl City, or where are we talking
about? Oh, no, you know, it goes, it starts in Eva Beach.
Okay.
And then it goes down, it gets off and goes through Waipahu, through on Farrington Highway.
Okay.
Goes through the Waipahu.
And goes through Pearl City?
No. Okay. It goes straight on the freeway. It goes up...
I'm trying to...
It goes the Waikele exit or entrance to the freeway.
Okay.
Here in Waipahu. So, and then it's really nice because it's express. And, well, in the morning hour, you get on the, what do you call it, the zipper lane, too. So that works out quite well most of the time. Sometimes, even that zipper lane is a...
Now, do you have any... there's another caller, but do you have any thoughts on the Pearl City IL gas leak explosion and the impacts there? I'm trying to solicit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm soliciting comments from that.
I can feel for these people, especially on the buses. You know, I mean, it's hard enough. I see all these hardworking people, especially when they get off of work in the afternoon, and it's taking him two plus hours to get back home, and they're spending 4 hours a day just to get to their job destination, which is to their lower income areas like Eva Beach and Waipahu. And of course, they're struggling just to pay the darn rent.
Right.
That's the commentary.
Let me get... Okay, well, thank you. Let me get another call here.
Yeah.
You can call back or hold on. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with...
Thank you very much for taking my call. I have my own personal experience, vicarious for you, but real for me, at Radford High School 4, 5, 6 years ago. At a Boofy Hanneman educational meeting, I asked an engineer who was there with a badge that you're going to put up columns and pillars to elevate for the elevated guideway. What are you going to do with the subterranean cables, pipes, lines, etc.? He said to me, and of course this is vicarious, but not for me, we'll deal with that when we get to it. And this is exactly what they have done with everything in the whole project. Deal with that, get to it. They didn't have the money, they don't have the money, and they're not going to have the money in the future by their own admission. And it was never about moving people. It was about TOD. It was about trans-oriented development. And it is a conspiracy, but they didn't get together all at one time, the contractors, the developers, the politicians, et cetera, the labor unions. But what has happened is it's for the rich, and Hawaii, or in real estate, it's location, location, location. We're talking about international Hawaii.
Let me ask you this. I'm soliciting comments to understand what should we do. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and it is relevant, but in a more immediate discussion, I'm soliciting comments about how does one, or what's your opinion of allowing this to take place, then in turn the people that are impacted, they're left on the sidewalk. The restaurants are left closed, or the people sitting on the bench for 5 hours because they can't get in their car and leave. I'm looking to talk about that. That's where we start hitting and jabbing and punching. But if we're going to talk generically about the bus and its woes,
Now, okay, I have an answer because I've been following this for since 2000.
I understand, but I didn't speak to that answer then. Go ahead.
The answer is with the people, and the last caller was absolutely right. You have got to consolidate the public in order to have the public solve the problem. They have divided the public by their own intentions, the rich, poor, the Kahala versus Kalihi. In every conceivable way, they've used fear and demagoguery and so forth, and it's ought to be up to the people. You have to fight. If you don't fight, they're going to do everything they possibly can to you because they know they can. Mm-hmm. They bought the politicians. Mr. Cox, it's up to the people.
Yeah.
And when you elect these people, you understand we do not have a direct democracy where you pick the person, you have 30 people, you get one vote for each person, for whoever you want. It's a republic. Therefore, they pick the representative, the council members, the legislators. And in Hawaii, they pick the ones they want. It's a revolving door. Manoah Manahan come down, and De La Cruz and Cachola go up.
Right.
It's just a revolving door.
We see the insult to this is that we see that Kurt Caldwell was on TV promoting yet another park that really is insignificant because there are other parks that you can't even use, and he's touting giving children parks. I understand all of that, but when you're standing there on the sidewalk and you see this worker, this person who is working at a fast food, struggling to get to work, and now is being impeded, prevented from getting to work and making a hard-earned salary that they rely on, and there's no recourse. That's coming, bringing the rail home to roost, but it's that layer of people that really, we all speak about the meetings and what we don't like and how many cars it will carry and how many people it will carry, but the more immediate one is people are being trounced.
Mr. Cox, first, they don't care. Number two, the power does not care. They do not care about the culture. Their immediate concern is their own self-interest.
Yeah.
And Caldwell is the one who said when the aesthetically, philosophically aesthetics, when it's coming to downtown, we can hide the train behind the buildings and the trees.
Yeah, hold on here. Thank you for, hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Waiting, go ahead with your comments. Hello?
Oh, yeah. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, you know, as a Keiko, kind of born and raised here for many years, I've been waiting for years for this rail. I live in Ever Beach. I cannot wait. It's almost getting too late for me. I cannot wait until they build a train station near the Croc Center in Kapolei so I can drive my car there, park it, and drive to town to work 5 days a week, save hundreds of dollars in gas and oil and wear and tear on my car. I got to the point where I was buying a new car probably every 55,000 miles. Well, I could afford to do that because
right.
You get a better trade-in. But I've been waiting for years to this. Now, this idiot rail, which a previous couple callers called it, I don't know if he's local or he's transplant. The problem with the rail, all these transplants who move out here who are against the rail and the politics that go on here, like your last caller, you know, planes are leaving every day back to the Big Island, you know, San Francisco, New York. And if you don't like it here, hop the plane and go to a better place.
Let me get something straight here, because you know you call the Carol Cox Show and you're welcome to say anything, but aren't you a part of a transplant too? Didn't you get here some kind of way and you got lucky and made a few investments and all? But we're talking about when you're here legally, you have a right to be here, you are a citizen here, and you shouldn't be impacted by your government activities in a negative fashion. What has that got to do with you getting a rail and wanting a... I'm just asking. I mean,
I'm saying, if you don't like a place, there's many of you can move. The place.
But you would have moved 1,000 times, Ed.
I moved to.
You would have moved.
Vegas for a while.
I know,
but I don't live in Las Vegas.
But
I decided I did not like Las Vegas.
But I'm saying
anywhere not. So I moved back to Hawaii.
As often as you let us know that you dislike many things, I could see you now, just a constant move. But it's not the reality. The reality is when people have a right to something and they're participating legally, they have rights. They don't need to be impeded in their daily life. It's already a struggle. I hope you can appreciate that aspect of the conversation rather than they might be good. It may be good they all get on the boat and plane and leave.
If you don't like the place, you don't like the politics, move. You can move anywhere.
Well, that's un-American, and you know better. You didn't get your money. You amassed your fortune. Why didn't you move when one day you had one bad day or somebody pissed down your leg or something? Why didn't you just move? Not good science. If I was a patient, I'd say malpractice. That's not good prescription,
it. One thing, if all the transplants didn't move out here, we wouldn't need the rail. Right?
Well, start with the mayor.
Yeah.
And start with the people that brought the rail here, right?
And my father, he's local.
Well, he's local?
Yeah.
Well, okay, but his parents are transplants.
Yeah.
So you understand. I appreciate you calling in, and I'm not taking issue with you, but when you have a legal business.
My issue is that I've been waiting the rail.
Well, and you got it.
It hasn't. I'm getting too old. It's been too late.
But that's okay. That's.
I don't know if you know Reen Manchel. She's the one that voted against the rail. The rail would have been completed from Hawaii Kai to Waianae to UH to Waikiki years ago, and it would be part of the landscape, and everybody would be accustomed to using it.
Well, Ed, I think for the sake of the conversation here, I think you accomplished what you want to, and always you're welcome to call up. But this is, I wouldn't want to be presenting myself as saying that here's a legal person here in the state of Hawaii getting up in the morning, going through their routine, and they, because of some ineptness or some oversight or some lack of concern, arrogance, whatever it is, cause me harm, financial harm. Now, when we talk about they should get on the plane and go back home or whatever, what about the business, like Anna Miller's, for example? What about Bravo's? What about a company that is American and here and operating legally, and then they are impacted? What do you say about that? They should, too, just...
They are impacted until the thing is complete.
Yeah, but again... Everybody, you can't take other people's money and then take their livelihoods and then say, well, it's up for grabs. You're lucky if you live through it, fine. That's not the way we operate. We shouldn't anyway. But maybe that is a prescribed way that they are operating. Okay, well, thank you, Ed. And thanks.
When they built H1, they confiscated a route all the way through downtown, and everybody was against H1. It took away homes. They cut the swath from Kaimuki to wherever H1 ends, and everybody was upset for years and years while they bait H1. They took away homes. They confiscated homes.
Have you ever filed a tort?
And we're still here. And when they built H3, they complained it was going to ruin the beauty. There's nothing beautiful about Hawaii. I'm born. I've been to Amalfi Coast, California. I've been to the Caribbean. You want to see beauty, you've got to get away from this island. If you think Kalihi is beauty, some of these older districts, Nimitz Highway, is that beautiful? No.
Well, but you see,
it's a false impression, beautiful Hawaii.
Yeah, well,
it's beautiful. I've been all over the world.
Yeah, well, I can only say when one proclaim that Hawaii is not beautiful, and then you, and then that same person or entity boasts about his success in real estate and all, hey, you're part of the problem, you're part of the solutions, you're part of the pollution, you're part of... I understand. So that's why it's not beautiful anymore, because we all wanted to invest in it, and investment mean buildings and streets and roads and invite all parties and bring more TODs, right?
Look at Kaka'aku.
Right. But you still...
Kaka'aku's being built, and it's going to be a beautiful area where people can live and walk to work. And so this is progress.
Yeah, well, okay, and I won't disagree with you there, but thank you for calling.
Okay.
All right, call back if you need to. There's some other calls, but call back if you'd like to. Okay. I just disconnect someone.
No.
Hold on.
Hello?
Yeah, hold on. Caller, go ahead with your comments.
Hello?
Caller?
Yes.
Not Richard. Hold on, Richard. Caller, go ahead with your comments.
Yes, I'm just thinking that the whole reason for the railroad is because of transplants.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so the idea that somebody that wasn't born here is here, they should go back. Well, I mean, we wouldn't need the railroad if it wasn't for the development. And the development is all about the traffic, and it's all about the newcomers, because we know the population is going up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand that kind of thinking, because we wouldn't need it if we weren't doing the development.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate. Isn't it amazing how Americans will ingest and digest and chew it up and spit it out? You never know where you're going to hear.
Okay,
thank you.
Sure,
all right, aloha. Hold on, Richard. Caller, go ahead. Thank you for calling. Your comments?
Hello?
Go ahead with your comments. You have a caller, not Richard. Go ahead.
No, I'm not Richard.
Okay, well, go ahead with your comments if you have.
Yes, I do. I am so disappointed listening to that comment about people going back. That just seems strange when that's part of our lives all over the world. People are moving from place to place and making new lives and better lives, and a lot of people that weren't born here have contributed and are contributing and will continue to contribute to the welfare of the state. But back to the whole thing of the impact of the rail, when it goes down Dillingham Boulevard, the oldest public school in Hawaii will be impacted. All of those mom-and-pop stores that have been there for generations will be impacted. What happens to those people who are eking out a living, barely eking out a living? What happens to them? You know, nobody gives a what avenue about them. They are missed. They are just overlooked. They have talked. Oh, Waipahu used to be delightful. It is awful. It's awful. So,
and it hadn't come to a boiling point, because I see many of them talking about they're going to vote for the mayor again.
Yes.
So but again, this is why I was hoping to avoid all of the theories and the booga bears under the tracks and talk about a specific act that is presented to a certain segment of population of people there in that area. That and we seem to, I don't know. It's a common practice, a common theme, or common response now. When the Americans, I've noticed, when they're given an issue and set in their lap, says this is one of immediacy, we all tend to run away from that and then talk about all of the other extraneous things. And not to say that they're to be dismissive of those points, but can't we? This is where we have the mayor and ask him, hold him accountable. This is how we fix things. But if we say, yeah, but down the road, 6 miles away, there's another situation that could present itself. No, let's hold him and wrap his knuckles at this site. I think if my observation, this is my style of fighting, is that we need to hold them accountable for now, not what can be predicted in the future. I anticipate more. I've spoken about it many times, but to be there firsthand and seeing, you have to be there to get the real experience of it, to see senior citizen having to sit in a business because they can't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not one person, the mayor hadn't called, or his director or managing director, to say, we're sorry. Kiewit wrote a little email to the media. But you don't see anything saying, look, we're sorry, and we'll take half of these billions that we're going to screw you out of and give you back a couple of dollars and at least something. Nothing. They go unscathed.
Mm-hmm.
untouched. So these are the things that I think that the immediate response is what, rather than I mean, not to dismiss what you're saying, but at some point we need to gravitate around the hole that's being dug rather than the holes that are going to be dug.
Well, and exactly that, exactly, because what you're saying about that is shows not only what is going on now, but that will be replicated, multiplied all along the route.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get a handle on it now, you won't get a handle
right.
on it further down the road.
And that's why I'm you know, because I am not the brightest person.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Unless they get a handle on that and fix it now.
Mm-hmm.
Now. Not tomorrow, today.
Well, I think it's the fixing starts with the mayor and the city council setting something up to address this. A mandatory. I mean, I don't know how one could go back and file a claim, but if you hit a pothole on the city streets, you can file a claim. You know, if a city truck drops a rock in your windshield, you can file a claim. So if a city management has a project in works in order and they do something dumb, negligent, then I believe that there should be cost there.
Well, there should be.
Compensation.
But I hit a pothole and then I was told, the fund is depleted.
Mm-hmm.
I called and I said, my poor little car is an old car and I hit one and major damage. Mm-hmm. And they tell me, the fund is depleted. Well, you can file the claim, but the fund is depleted.
Right. Well, they probably spent it. Well, thank you for calling. And go
I do want to talk to you about change the subject, so.
No, we're not changing the subject now.
I said I would like to.
No, I know. I say, but I'm saying we're not going to change the subject on this one yet. In the next hour, we can. I'm coming down the last minute. Okay. All right. Thank you. Richard, go ahead with your comment.
Thank you very much again. In terms of Caldwell, Bonner, who is CEO of Hart, could be the mayor, and Caldwell could be the CEO of Hart. They are bound together. You're not going to have a change. And the reason for all of this goes back, and I'll do it quickly, Machiavelli, self-greed, the ignorance of the people. And it's a simple dichotomy, good, bad, and there is no critical thinking. You must have the facts. The facts are there. The facts are there. You have millions of opinions. The opinions are there. But what you do not have is action. There is no leadership for agitation, for action. I'm from San Francisco, and I know how civil rights got done. And that is not what's happening here. My own motivation is Pono. We are involved with Pono Gate. These are sociopaths who do not give a damn about Aloha.
Right.
And it's just whether you're talking about the 14th century, theoretically, abstract, philosophically, or pragmatically as of this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the facts.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll come back in the next hour and we'll take it up some more if you'd like
thank
to.
You.
But
bye.
All right, thank you, and thanks for calling. Aloha. Caller, thank you for calling. We got about 2 minutes. Go ahead with your comments.
Oh, I forgot to mention Carol.
Okay.
I got another weak chance. I didn't win the Powerball.
Oh, I was hoping you did.
I got four more tickets for next week. After I get that, it's Aloha Oi.
Yeah? So did you win?
No, nobody won the Powerball this week.
I thought maybe you had an inside, you know.
No. I got four more tickets for the next drawing coming up next week.
So what were your numbers?
My numbers?
No, you don't have to tell me. But
no, I just got one. I had four tickets. Each ticket only got one of the numbers required.
Oh, man. Yeah, well,
but it's going to be over $1 billion.
Ah, wow.
Everybody has a chance.
How many nice homes or how many shots could we buy for that for our kids? And how much? How many graduation, you know, sponsorship in college and whatever? That's a lot of money, right?
$500 million. That's a lot of money.
So if you win now,
I'm going to spread it around my family, you know, and that's about it.
Well, you want to adopt someone too, because I got a radio show. You can adopt, and then you can call up and talk as much as you want to.
I might finance some of your programs.
Okay, well, I'll be waiting, and I wish you luck.
You're on my list for some money.
All righty. Well, thank you. Hey, Happy New Year's. Anyway, guys. I don't want to sound offensive. All the other aspects of this topic is relevant. But when you're standing there, and there was one couple, and they were walking, and you could see that they were very prepared in a routine. They had the baby in the stroller that they told me they were taking it to the babysitter. They catch the bus from somewhere and get off at Sears there, walk down by the Watercress Farm and going toward Annie Miller's, and then they cross the street and go to a babysitter, drop the baby off, then they come back and catch a bus to go to work. Well, that situation unfolded where they couldn't get a bus. They were late, and she said they don't have the money to pay the babysitter because they're that tight and they're operating it, but they were working. And they're standing at the corner going, well, now what do we have? The buses were not informative. So in order to get back to catch a bus, you had to go back to Sears, go back around and go around Polymomi, catch a bus to go back around, and I think they were out in Waipahu or somewhere, some area they were working, or Ever Beach or something. So imagine, should we be at the mercy of someone else or being impacted by someone else's activity? I mean, you know, some of these things are unforeseen, and you're going to have some disruption in the normal life. Somebody's going to get impacted. But this seems to be an arrogant climate that it speaks that, you know, we turn on the evening news and there's a mayor chatting and talking about homeless and chasing them. And then over here, the people that are just one paycheck from being homeless are being impacted, and he's not held accountable, nor is his contractors, nor there's no cost associated with his mistakes and missteps. So anyway, we're going to keep looking at this, and we'll be back in the next hour, and feel free to call up if you have any questions, comments, 524-1080. And as I announced earlier, John Nolan's show will not be aired on Monday tomorrow, but take up on Tuesday. For the rest of the week, John is going to be taking off as an annual trek to watch the national football game between colleges. Okay, well, we'll be back shortly.
Show right after the news on KWA. For the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, happy New Year's, and I hope we all do better this coming year, and our health and everything that's good for us happens, and hope that we're constantly trying to do what's right and by other people or all people. And, you know, hopefully some civility comes to all the world issues. And, I mean, they're not going to happen on their own. But I was thinking the other day, I believe half of the world's problems is that, like many other issues, the people that cause them tend to continue to proliferate nonsense and propaganda to steer away, because they are the ones who's triggering these things, and the people that are being impacted just don't have the ability, because they've been demoralized or debilitated or whatever. The governments have been broken up and manipulated by outside actions or entities. So maybe America in itself, and which is a great country, but there are people that live here that want to manipulate the rest of the world, and some may say that's good because it protects us from evil people. But then if we're taking evil to the shores of other countries, then don't be so shocked to find that others want to impact us the same way. I mean, it's just a common sense understanding of it, but hopefully we can get past the arrogance and the testosterone that's flowing in the air lately. You know, there's nothing like talking about terrorist coming to attack and being provided weapons by Iran or whatever, and then in turn we're boasting how we get Stinger missiles to some faction in Syria and things of that nature. We can't have it both ways, but anyway, so much for that. But one thing that I want to, I'm really trying to focus on is that this thing about Pearl City, the gas leak, and why is it important to me? Because for some reason, we have this innate ability now, the Americans, you see it repeat itself, and you know, we call it apathy. But I think, from my assessment, and don't go banking on this, but I'm just expressing myself, I believe that we, as Americans, have become too smart for our own good. We're taught to think, we're taught to rationalize, and we're taught to keep our cool. And so when we find something that's offensive, we'd rather take, for example, this hole in the ground that caused where the pipeline was broken. And instead of congregating around that pipeline and working backwards and reverse engineering what went wrong, this is a great opportunity, we'll say, no, let's run down the road and look and dig another hole and see if the same thing repeats itself. If it does, then we'll see. But then if it presents itself again, the American thought or thinking process now and the fighting tactics is that, well, let's give it one more chance. We can't jump to the conclusion that this mayor is corrupt or, you know, or this or that. I think that somehow in our educational process, we have been denutted. You know, we don't have any huevos. We're just there. I don't know where it's going, because it seems to be the perfect climate for abusive government. It seems to be a perfect climate for abusive government personnel. Accountability is probably 5% accountability. And they if they're forced to come and tell you and admit that there's a problem, that they screwed up, they will. But then just hold your breath. In the next 5 minutes, you'll have another screw-up. So my advice to the average American, if they care to hear what I say, is that sometimes we think too much. We need to start doing and start holding people accountable. But, you know, just on a scavenge hunt for problems, and then we talk about them, we mull over them, and we go to the next site. You know, it's something's wrong there. Maybe we don't want to fix anything. Maybe we are what our government is. Maybe we don't realize that our government is just an overt expression of us, the way we think, the way we behave, the way we care about our neighbors. How do we really look at the homeless situation? Because when you get booed around, pushed around, and the mayor and others are initiating this, at some point you and I should be able to say, enough already. This isn't right. But is Caldwell just one of us? Is he behaving like we would, really down deep inside? We don't really give a damn, but we talk about it. And we express ourselves, and we give a little money here, and we have nice dinners and go together and meet. But when it comes down to the real issues, nowhere to be found. Maybe the American way is just throw a little money in the box and keep on walking. I did my part. I gave at the office. So I don't believe that this is something that's going to go away, and I don't believe that it's apathy any longer. In the old days, it may have been apathy, but I honestly believe, due to the educational process and desensitizing people and the chase for that dollar, we've lost it somewhere. I'm leaning toward believing that Kurt Caldwell, the city council people that go out and take bribes, and the government people that take bribes, are just acting like we would act, because we tolerate it. because it once was an offensive thing that people went to jail for it. You go to Louisiana, I mean, the guy got caught with cold hard cash in his freezer. He went to jail. Guy got caught out here taking cash. He became city councilor, left that position and became a state representative. You see how it works. Maybe it's just what we want. Carla, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments.
Wow. How do I follow that? But you're right. You're absolutely right. People really don't care. I hate to say that. And especially Mr. Mayor, who, for anybody that doesn't know, I am calling about the Martin Luther King holiday. But the mayor and the city has been a thorn in our side. It's unbelievable. And then we invite him to participate, and they say, if his schedule allows. You know, what the heck kind of... Anyway.
Why do you need him there?
I don't.
Why did they invite him?
No, it's a courtesy.
I wouldn't. A courtesy. Well, why don't you invite Hitler?
Nobody misses him.
Yeah, no, I mean, when you say he's this bad guy, he's vulgar, he's foul, he's this and that.
No.
And then they invite him out of courtesy? Just don't invite him.
Yeah. Well, it was like nobody cares that he doesn't show up.
But they invite
him. But I'm saying that they have just been a problem working with. That's all.
No, okay.
Constantly.
All right, and you were calling for it to announce what now?
Okay. The bell ringing ceremony will Sunday the 17th will be at 4:30 at the Park Chapel, and that's at the Cathedral of St. Andrew on Baratena Street. And we are one of 300 sites that will be ringing the bells for the Martin Luther King holiday, and so we're inviting everybody to join us. And that is at 4:30 on Sunday the 17th.
Okay.
And then the parade, of course, is the next day. Begins at Magic Island at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're asking everybody to join us. And then the Unity Rally follows immediately after the parade, and it goes on all day with entertainment and food and all of the kinds of things that people enjoy. So we are inviting people to come and be with us. But now let's go back. Martin Luther King said, and so did Gandhi and all of the other people out there of that ilk, said that poverty is the worst kind of violence. And that is the violence that the city does to the homeless. It's unbelievable. And like you said, where are all the other people that raise their voices? Not a sound. Not a sound. And that is the worst kind of violence.
Well, I one observation that I've made is that throughout this debate and this chase of homeless people, the NAACP has been completely missing in action. Completely. Any ideas? Did they not go to the GPS classes and learn how to find these locations or something? What happened?
I can't speak for the NAACP because I am not a member.
Well, no, but you're
but
not a member.
I'm just saying, I'm going to get ready to comment that most of those members that are in positions of office here in Hawaii also work for the government. So their first thought is keeping their job. And now, that's my observation. It may not be true, but that's my observation.
And there are other groups that are stand for civil rights, and where are they? What is the organization that sues American Civil? Yeah, they've intervened on behalf, but where...
I'm taken aback by the fact
that they would. I personally would not, just out of solidarity with the homeless people until something is, I mean, we're fighting them for, we're seeking increased salary, hourly rates, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, do we have a groundswell of, and support from the Democratic Party?
What happens?
We then invite. We have a Martin Luther King parade. I would rather walk backwards and alone in a parade such as Dr. Martin Luther King than to send the mixed message of that, guys, you can chase the homeless around, the less fortunate and what have you, and your behavior is insensitive, and you won't fix it. And then in turn, you come the first of the year, you're saying, come on, Mr. Mayor, and, I mean, I'm at a loss there, not to say that we should be vulgar and foul with the mayor, but what do we, that goes back to what I'm saying, we've just been trained to be polite and educated.
You're correct, absolutely correct, that we have been trained, and this is protocol, and we do it. Not that anybody cares, but that's what you do. And it's almost like not even thinking. If you really thought this through, that wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you really gave it some serious thought. But when we go back to the minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
and you know, because you know, I hollered every day on your show about minimum wage and being at the legislature to get this thing done. And you know who killed it the first year?
No, tell us. I mean, I'm
not... The governor...
And who was the governor?
No. Ige.
Okay.
Ige killed it the first year because he was head of the Ways and Means.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost killed it the second year, but he was running for office, and several people on his campaign said, Marcia, please don't campaign against him. We won't let him kill the bill this year. But he was the one.
Is he going to kill it this year? Well, has it been presented?
There is no bill this year.
I love this town.
There is no bill. And then when we got pennies,
yeah.
All those politicians that did not help were campaigning on, we got you a minimum wage.
Yeah.
They did nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. If anything, they stood in the way. We would go to... Yeah, I told you this. We would go to hearings, and half of them wouldn't be there, the legislators.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't hear or care. But when the Chamber of Commerce said, oh, we can't afford it, our small businesses can't afford a pay raise, they caved to her. Not to us, not to the people, but to the Chamber of Commerce. Oh, we can't afford a pay raise.
Hold on.
And then
second.
They wonder why people are living in the street when you can't pay the rent.
No, they're not wondering. I mean, they're just trying to keep them off the street so that the reality doesn't present itself so others can see. They know why people are out there. They're smarter than that. It's just that they're not busy trying to solve our problems. They're busy trying to resolve people with money's problems so that they can get, you know, it's going to be a good thing when you serve as mayor and you serve as a head of the city department and deputies and whatever. You're going to have a pension. You're going to have some good money. So what the heck? Let's just do what they want us to do, and that's good with us, right? Hold on 1 second. Caller, thank you for calling. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Thank you for letting me call a second time. The apathy is solved in this way. First there is pain, then there is passion, and then you've got action. Until the people feel the pain and collectively act together, there's not going to be a solution, because you're giving the solution to the people in power, and the people in power are bought for their own self-interest, whether it's self-advancement, whatever. So that is the solution, and
mm-hmm.
There's just no leadership here. I was told by someone inside Honolulu Holly, directly from that person, that when you look at the fiscal pie and you look at the money spent
and you look at that pie, that if you look at it now, much majority of the money is going to the rail. So when you talk about the homeless and all of the education problems we have, where follow the money. Years ago, follow the money with Nixon. Follow the money now, and that's the answer.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks, Richard. Aloha.
Hello?
I disconnected one caller there. Caller... Somehow we got to... Anyway. Folks, most of our problems that we have are self-made, and how do we change it? Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments.
How about this, Carol? Minimum costs instead of minimum wage. Because every time we go minimum wage, the cost goes up. So how about looking at it from a different perspective? Minimum cost. Does that sound reasonable?
Well, it lends itself to something that I was going to ask here openly, is that gas prices now have, I won't say plummeted, but they're very low, aren't they?
I don't know. I know drive.
Well, but they
no, but I hear you.
So when do we get to read that Matson reduced its shipping rates? And when it was very mercurial when it was going up. They're asking for increases, you know, like balloons being handed out at a birthday party. But now we don't hear anything about that. And so where is our legislators and where is the committee heads that would oversee these problems and monitor them? You know, where are they?
You see, the thing I'm talking about is minimum wage will drive up the cost. What does minimum cost do? Will it lower the wage?
So explain the minimum cost. I'm when you ask if I understood it. When you say minimum, what would it be different than minimum wage? And if so, how so?
Well, minimum cost would allow more people to be accessible to the product, whereas minimum wage lifts the product's cost. Less people will be accessible to the product.
So you're suggesting a regulatory action on pricing?
As a result, you're one paycheck away from being homeless.
Yeah, but are you suggesting that there be a price limit on prices or fixed prices for certain products or certain commodities or whatever?
Well, whatever it takes. It might need a study.
Okay.
Because we've only been going... minimum wage, minimum wage, minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what I'm saying?
Okay.
And the minimum wage has slowly been rising. Now, the minimum wage rising at a 3-mile-an-hour pace, whereas the minimum cost rises at a 5-mile-per-hour pace.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you have a better wage tomorrow than you have yesterday, you have a higher cost today than you have the day before.
Well, I think we have many of the earlier politicians to thank for deregulations and also those that sat on their thumbs and allowed many things to happen and afford. I don't know if anyone would tolerate that, dictating what something can be sold, because in a free market, I guess, supply and demand, right?
Well, that's the thing I'm talking about. That's the very thing I'm talking about. Something needs to be studied about that, where that the balance is an equal. It doesn't make sense if I make a 2-cent wage, raise, and the cost of that same item I bought yesterday went up 5 cents.
And the shipping cost is in, for example, when Matson says we need to raise our 4%, that translates in back down the pipe that they're going to get their 4% increase, and that means somebody else's, the cost is going to increase for a back box of cereal, and then it, ultimately at the counter, you end up paying for it.
That's right.
So, and I understand that, but
who suffers in the end?
But before studying it and whatever, why not the legislators not even regulate, but just simply sit there and say, well, we gave you, when it was $4 a gallon, we gave you the 4 or 8% on three occasions. And now that that is gone, then you don't need that anymore.
That's right.
So then we'll give, but you need an honest and an active and an observant legislative body to do that. You need honesty. Well, and you need to have free thinkers and free people that were elected. But if they are owned by companies,
that's a part of the equation that's not being done, the study.
Mm-hmm.
Now, take, for instance, the rail. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get you there quicker. But in the meantime, it's going to get you there slower.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you're not even getting there. You're going to run out of gas before you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah?
And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. There was no study on the adverse effect while the rail was being built.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't think they did a study on that. I think they only were thinking about getting the people there quicker.
Well, you didn't need to study it when, you know, people go out and, you know, the union says, well, it's going to bring jobs, and you had so many forces and factions.
That's the thing. That's the thing. They failed to recognize, even though it's going to bring jobs, and they didn't, because the jobs were just cycled around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got this section. How many guys are working? Six. Okay, the job all done. Now we're going to get this section. We got to hire six new guys. So how many guys get jobs? Six. Is that the same six guys that you totaling now? 12 guys we went hire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't know, but it seems to be during the daytime things are stressful, and in the evening when everybody's
horsing, stress when you kind of get home,
hoisting beers and what have you, and I don't know what the answers are, but as I observe, it's
too many times we take the step without even making sure that the step is safe.
Yeah, well,
like for instance. TMT, all of a sudden, that young man who was a protector, who was appointed as a protester, is found by the court not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You know that young man from Kona?
Mm-hmm.
What? Now the court finds him not guilty. Why? Because the study, the proper steps were not taken. Well, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking from a different perspective. Instead of minimum wage, minimum cost.
And that would be, then you would be focusing on the businesses rather than, is that correct?
Everybody win.
No, I mean not winning, but you got to, and when you, who is going to be the target of the taking the thrust of the the impact of who you focus on. It's not the consumer. It's not the worker.
Let's exactly where I was going. Let's put that in another perspective. While it was made in America, it cost the American businessman a quarter. Now that they shipped it out to third world, it cost the American businessman 15 cents. Who gains on the 10 cents? But when it gets shipped back to America as a product, now it goes up to 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the balance?
And what is that extra 45 cent? Where did it come? And at the end of the year, it's stated as profit?
It goes in the owner's pocket.
Well, I mean, I would think it. The cost of the shipping and all of that, but I don't really know. But again, that's the long way around, in my opinion. The shortest way around to the fixing this is
And that's the reason why that law, what law is that, the shipping law?
Jones Act.
The Jones Act?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at that. Now, they got to go send that product to the coast, the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
before they send. And they're passing us by.
Right. Well, that's a whole different subject. And when people are trying to justify
it, adding to the cost.
Well, yeah, but the Jones Act is not. It's just also just greedy people.
Well, that's what I mean.
That's all.
Exactly what I'm saying.
We get past the Jones Act. Let's take the Smith, the Browns, the Robinson, the Williams, and all of those names too.
Absolutely.
Who wants to make? And then be able to pronounce that they acquired another company and had a profit of $4 billion. Jones, Smith, Robinson, you pick your names.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's greed. And so I think that's what's really impacting us, and we don't have any protection. And our legislators, if they granted increase because of the fuel costs went up,
understood.
Then if they also believe that there are people saying, give us a higher hourly rate, and it's within their purview, then
understood.
Give consideration. And because of studying it, you know how studies go forever and ever and ever. Hold on 1 second. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments. Thanks for waiting.
Hello?
Yeah?
Just 5 seconds. Look up Adam Smith's Invisible Hand. That's the answer. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I like those comments.
Yeah, but anyway, that's
the invisible hand.
So I was, last year there was a debate, and I was down at the state capitol, and there was an effort talking about increasing hourly wages, and someone was saying, they said, we need to do away with the Jones Act, and that would be the solution. And it's like, well, okay, if that's the solution, when do you initiate it? Where is it at? In the meantime, the people still looking for an increase, and the reality is that it's tough to live here, and the cost of living goes up. I was just at one of the big box stores. I noticed that their packages, everything is going up $2-3. They got a captive audience. Is it really the Jones Act where a ship is made in Florida, Georgia, or Malaysia makes a difference? Or is it the people that are here gouging us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which one is it? And so, once again, that goes back to my comments earlier. We dig a hole and we see the all chaos in that hole, but then instead of dealing and sorting through chaos, we say, let's go dig another hole and maybe we'll find something.
Well,
a little
let's
more
cover pleasing. Up the hole that we just got you digging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the American way, apparently. Don't see no evil, fight no evil, you know. Or if you see it, cover it up real quick and run. You know, stay away from it. You know, don't go to the edge of the hole.
You know, that joke about the Puerto Rican guy who went dig his own grave, right?
No.
You don't know.
Mm-mm.
He went dig the 6 feet, and then after that, he turned around and he told everybody else, cover me up, and he walked around as they were covering, and before you know it, he was out of the hole again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, look at it from the other perspective. That's the reason why I'm saying, what about the minimum cost?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
All righty, well, maybe Iggy, see, when he killed Bill, and somehow she hung up there, but when he killed the bill or didn't pass it to Iggy, what then do you expect of Iggy once he killed the bill?
Well, the only reason why I'm saying what I'm saying is because all we hear is minimum wage, minimum wage, minimum wage, minimum wage, minimum wage, and the cost goes up, and the cost goes up, and the cost goes up, and the cost goes up. How about minimum cost for a change?
But see, if let me suggest this. You might engage in a study or say that cost, trying to prevent, but you say studying it. How long does a study take? And then
understood. I understand.
And
that.
So there's no, is there any regulatory?
The only reason why I'm saying that is because there has been no study. I don't think there has been a study about minimum cost.
Right.
In regards to studies upon studies upon studies on minimum wage.
But I think they both aspect, if we were to entertain your, it still suffer from two things. It's driven by the shippers.
Driven by greed.
And so if we engage in a study, then tell the person that's seeking hourly wages increase to hold on. And you know how studies get done here in this state. So do one study, do another study, right?
Well, we've got to study the study. Yeah.
No, I think we have legislative ability and powers to actually legislate, and that's why the people were approaching the governor, and that's why the bills were introduced. And I didn't know that there was not a bill, because this year, isn't that a shame?
You know what? It's coming.
You know? You think there's a bill coming this year?
No, I think the time is coming.
Oh, okay.
Where the turnaround is going to take place, because the system that we live in today is not working.
And unfortunately, we don't have the momentum. We, the people, middle class and lower class, and the way things are going now, we don't have the momentum to cause a change in it, because the very people that
things are going now will create that momentum to make the change.
To do what? I mean, because we're catering in to foreigners, we're catering to outside business, we're selling islands, complete islands, the guy who gets gets rich, and then
that's what's going to create the change.
But see, I'm just trying to speak to the change, and it's rather optimistic, but let's just say the guy that bought the island of Lanai, right?
Lanai.
Okay, and then we bought his software, Oracle, right? And all of our...
And he bought the airplane company.
Yeah,
he's selling.
That's okay, but I'm talking about when we talk about greed and people having influence and why the legislators just asleep at the wheel. We use his software, and we had major problems with border water supply and utilities, and HECO is talking about going to smart meters and what have you. You know that some of that is attributed to the being able to buying the wrong software and what have you, not marrying and wedding. So, you know, we might do a study, but then we sell him the island and let him, then all of our utilities are reliant.
No, I understand.
Reliant. So,
I understand what you're saying.
And so the cost is, I think most of the cost here in Hawaii is artificially inflated because of the ineptness and the dishonesty in government officials.
That's that hidden hand. That's that invisible hand that you're talking about.
Well, I don't know if they teach that in economics. I've taken economic classes in college, but I don't recall them speaking about how one should manage corruption and payoffs
and that's the reason why I'm saying we got to look at it from the other perspective. And you know, I'm looking at it from minimum cost for a change. That's all I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, if you got an extra bag of beans, give it to the person who waits.
And you know what? I've done a lot of that in my past. And you know where I'm coming from.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like I say, I was starting that story about the couple that was taking a baby to the babysitter and couldn't get a bus and all.
That.
And I mean, look what their loss is that day.
Yes, absolutely.
At the hands of others that they won't even know, and there's no recourse in that.
And that's what they failed to do at the beginning. They failed to say, but what happens if this happens? What happens if that happens? What's going to take place when we come into Waipahu? What's going to take place when we come into Pearl City? What's going to take place when we cross the H3 or H1 or H whatever? Well, what impact is going to be on the community at large?
Well, but see, the city government and the movie Hannemans and the Hart, they've inoculated the contractors from anything or immunized them from any costs of recovery.
Understood.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How in the Lord's name did we let that guy buy part of Hawaii, the whole island? How did the people of Hawaii let that happen?
Uncle Joe, you
buy that. That's the whole, especially the Hawaiians. If I was a Hawaiian boy, I'd be, man, give me the swords and give me the spears, man, because somebody's got to pay for giving the land away like that.
Well, I can't come in because of conflict of interest. I was competing with buying it, so I, you know. I was busy counting my pennies, man. That's why I lost my place in the conversations.
Well, if I had even one iota of Hawaiian blood, man, I'd be up in arms beyond belief, man, to have somebody just come in there and scoop that land. And how did he get away with that?
That's
called capitalism.
And other things as well.
I feel sorry for the Hawaiian people, man, because this part of their legacy just got scooped up.
And that's the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying. It's going to ignite the force that will make the change.
I hope so, sir. I hope somebody really gets a, you know, up the match up their butt, man, and get something done with these. But you're just stealing more of the Hawaiian land. It's just going to nothing.
I've said this many...
The Hawaiian homes or something. Don't they got money that they could have put and said, well, we'll buy it, but we'll pay you slowly.
Thank you for your support, sir. But I've said this many times. Before the man came from the West, Hawaii was in total harmony with the universe. It was paradise.
Correct.
And it was recognized all over the world as paradise. You know, during that last rain that we had last year, maybe about October, there was a woman that came to Hawaii often. She was a tourist. And when she seen brown water in Waikiki, you know what her question was? What happened to paradise? Well, let me tell you what happened to paradise.
They diluted the land. That's why it's brown water.
I'll tell you what happened to paradise. The only reason why paradise looks and smells like hell today is because the Hawaiian people are not in charge. You're absolutely right when you say that how come we allowed Ellison to buy that whole island? No, we're not for sale. We're not for
sale. It just hurts my heart to see that. Man, there ain't going to be no Hawaiians left there. You mark my words, 50 years from now, they're going to be outcrossed, outbreeded, and there ain't going to be none left.
Believe me, 50 years from now, we're going to be taken over.
Well, I just, you know, I just want to pray for the Hawaiians. That's all I can say, sir. I really do.
And when you see me walking down the road,
come back.
When you see me walking down the road, I'm going to turn around and look who's behind my back, and it's going to be you. Thank you.
Hey, I'll give me the sword. Take care.
All righty. Well, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Carol.
All right, Uncle Joe. We'll talk to you later.
Aloha.
Aloha. Anyway, the talking about the Martin Luther King parade, it was, I don't know where she went, the actual dates and what have you, but do join in and participate. So, what if the mayor were to come and talk to us? Let's say, have you heard the lips of the mayor speak about H power? Nope. And there's major pedophilia or trashy ideas and behavior occurring there. Cost. Has he spoken on that? And so we're talking about billions of dollars. You're talking about the rail, and unfortunately, you look at, I'm told that some of the news sources say, well, they don't want to talk about it. They're extending him a courtesy. and not wanting to wed him up, his face up, with the H power. And if I recall right, the mayor has been around since 2010, acting mayor, and all of that. So this situation is it's a courtesy that when you know that an audit just came out and it's saying that just at one example went from 330 some million to $1 billion. And the media doesn't ask the question. They have the mayor in their studio, and they only ask him, what do you think about the chief of police? You have any comments? And yet won't task him with speaking to us about the loss and the fraud and the lack of accountability at H-Power. So if the homeless is on the street, and the mayor says he's motivated because it costs the taxpayer, why then is the mayor not expressing the same sentimental concerns when it costs his management people, his chief appointed director of the Environmental Services Division? Why then is he not being asked to speak to that? You see? And this gas leak. Now, I got to tell you, I believe that, you know, down on Pearl Harbor there at the bike path near the Admiral's harbor, boat harbor, or the boathouse, in that vicinity there are a number of pipes buried, and there are plumes of few in and out of that area. Up to the left is the IAIR laundry site, just back up the mountain there a little bit. And I'm this week I'm going to actually go and look to see. There's oil bubbling out, very heavy number two diesel, like, or a tar maybe, because it's hitting the surface. But it's just there, and clearly it's bubbling out of the ground. So when they come through with the rail in that area, how long of a stoppage there? So, I mean, this translates into traffic at a minimum, the minimum. So now you got to divert traffic. And at this juncture, it's going to be a little more impactful because you're going to now have to channel all those cars in away or divert them. What's coming into Pearl Harbor, or Pearl City, or IL? The state health department allows all of this to be environmentally to be lumped together and then treated as they need it. And I don't believe that that is right. I believe that they should be making them look at things, and they say, well, we have a handle on it. But how can you have a handle on it if, in fact, you having professional people like Kiewit and its contractors digging holes and breaking gas lines, subjecting the public to a great danger and a great financial hardship? So these are the things. I don't know about the TOD. We've talked about them, and I believe when we get to the stadium, it's going to present even a bigger problem. But I have some thoughts about the stadium. I believe there was a debate that Ige was saying something about the turf, or someone was at higher levels was saying, and refurbishing the stadium. I believe that because Ige is part of that group that want the rail to be in the TOD and all of that, I believe that, this is just me thinking, I believe that they will try to minimize the use of the stadium and seek to build it somewhere else to accompany and accommodate the rail, the TOD, because of its location. Even to the point where they've, we've talked about this, and you can go to carolcox.com and see in October of 2014, I think, we talked about it. The stadium itself and the Department of Interior stating that there are covenants on the land at the stadium that restricts the use, and it must be used for recreational, meaning the stadium falls within that. And there were even questions. It was so strict that they had questions about the swap meet. But I believe that the manipulation that has transpired and taken place in this process, we're going to see more discoveries of. There's a Air Force, abandoned Air Force line there, fuel line. And underneath the stadium, in certain portions of the stadium, there's fuel that have leaked in thousands, if not millions, of gallons. They can't quantify it. So to get in there and to get it out and to address it, one of two things are going to happen. They're going to have to shut down that entire area over there because of the dangers associated with it, and take care of it, or remediate it, or leave it in place, and encapsulate it as a brownfield site. Or like if you're driving from Pearl City IL and you're coming up for the interchange to go to Red Hill or go to the airport, if you look closely, there is a geotexar granite that's falling apart off of that embankment there. Why is it, first of all, why does it have granite? Because of the contaminants that are situated uphill in the plume of so that area, and then the discovery of this oil that's bubbling out. And some of you may remember the old medical waste burn site. That's a contaminated site. So at the end of the day, it's about cost. What is it going to cost us? It's about something unforeseen or ignored. But, folks, this thing is getting to be... I believe at the rate we're going, when we have to deal with PCB soil, for example, they estimate about $850 a ton. So how many tons, if they do the job right, 1,000 tons, 2,000 tons, 4,000 tons, multiplying that. And if it's hazardous, it's going to have to be shipped out, depending on the contaminants in it. And if it's at the laundry site, so we don't really know what the total cost of this rail is, not to mention if we cut short. I believe based on the environmental remediations and addressing the environmental concerns that are laying waiting, even if you were to shorten the route, it's my belief that you're still going to pay that $6 billion. Whatever, because, see, they're not burdened with telling you and quantifying the cost of everything because the state allows them to just handle it as a group. So I believe that there's worse to come before it gets better. And unfortunately, it's so sad that the people out in Pearl City have to be the first ones to get it. I just hope that somewhere, somehow, the mayor has the fortitude to go out and say to these businesses and the people, speak to these issues. Don't hide from them. We're tired of seeing you chasing homeless and making people homeless. We want you to do something. So we'll see you next week. This is the Carol Cox Show. Go to Olelo at Channel 54 at 1 o'clock if you're interested in seeing more discussion with me on the H-Power, and every Sunday at 1 o'clock you can go there. And again, John Nolan's show will be off air tomorrow from 5 to 7, but he will be returning, as promised, on Tuesday for the rest of the week. We'll talk to you later, and thank you for joining. CarolCox.com is where you can listen to the podcast.
Treats me awful mean. He is the lowest man I've ever seen. Stripes are really yellow. He wears high drape pants. Stripes are really yellow. But when he stops in to love me, he is so fine. Love will make you drink and gamble, stay out all night.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.